Let us hear the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all.
And to your
spirit. The reading is from the Holy Gospel according to the Evangelist, St. Matthew. Let us attend. At that time, Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from Jordan. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
Today we celebrate a lot of saints, all the saints of North America, and we celebrate the Holy Apostles today. Great day to commemorate those who were mentioned in Hebrews chapter 12, as we read so often, those that fought the good fight, oftentimes giving their lives. As we think of the many souls that surround us, they're witnesses, right? The cloud of witnesses. Our epistle points us to God and how God worked through them to make their lives glory unto the King. How did they attain such lofty heights, such spiritual dignity, such miracle-working strength, such peace and calmness of soul, even in great storms? The answer is simply this. They listened to the voice of God and did what God directed them to do. The way that God spoke to them in one major way is the way that he still speaks to all of us today. And as we look at our epistle, we see that word conscience. It's that word I'd like us to reflect upon today. It's God's voice in every person. And so it was that in the book of Romans it's written this, that glory, honor, and peace come to every man that worketh good. In this life, the Lord says, we might have tribulation, but ultimately our destiny is peace and eternity. But also in this life, peace and glory and honor. If, it says, we work good. A simple statement that goodness is blessed. Goodness is blessed with honor. Goodness is blessed with glory. And I think very importantly for us as individuals, this blessing of God that comes through obedience and through working good, gives us peace. Peace in our hearts. He says that it comes to every man that worketh good. First to the Jew, and then to the Gentile. It says there's no respect of persons with God. There's no other way. The same way that's good for the Jew is good for the Gentile. That's good for the black man, for the Native American. That's good for you and good for I. There's no respect of persons with God. There's glory, honor, and peace to every single person that doeth good. This is what God has us all to aspire to have glory from Him, honor, and peace in our lives. We should aspire to it, and we get these things by simply doing good. Conversely, he says that as many have sinned with the law or without the law, they will perish. Sin is a nasty thing. Sin destroys us. Sin kills us. Working good gives us blessing, gives us peace. Doing sinful things destroys us. And so it is that to know what to do, God has given us instruction. He says that not the hearers of this law are blessed, but those that do the works of the law. He says those are the ones that are going to be justified in the day when God comes to judge the secrets of men. Everything will ultimately be judged by God through Jesus Christ. And it says, according to my gospel. The apostle wrote about the gospel of Jesus Christ being that which will judge us. And so, knowing that there's judgment, and knowing that sin destroys, but that doing good brings glory, righteousness, and peace, how are we to know what to do? You see, man was naturally created to want to please God. And it says right here that when the Gentiles, which don't have the law, do by nature the things in the law contained therein, they're a law unto themselves. What God is saying is that naturally speaking, you were created to do good things. Things that please God. Things that bring glory to God. And things which ultimately will bring glory and honor and peace to you. This is what God created us to do. It's our nature. But somehow we've gotten away from that nature. We've gotten away to doing things that are evil. And so we suffer. And so sin entering into the world brings death. And death is a terrible thing. To be separated from others and from this life and from God. He's speaking about both death, spiritual and otherwise. That the doers of the law, they get a blessing. Those that don't, don't. And so how is it that we're to know what to do? How is it through history we've known what to do? How is it but that there's a law written in our hearts? He says that the law is written in our hearts. It's their conscience. It bears witness to us. Individually, your conscience bears witness to you. Not to someone else, but simply to you. And this is a voice that's inside us. On the one hand, it can be accusing us, as the apostle says. The thoughts we're accusing or else excusing them. Inside us, this conscience speaks, accusing us. And this accusation that comes from within in our hearts, is what St. John Chrysostom said. An evil one experiences the torments of hell, he said, before hell, being tormented by his own conscience. Perhaps you've been tormented in the past, or even today you're tormented by your own conscience. That's God's voice trying to turn you, trying to get your attention. On the other hand, this voice also can excuse us. And I read in one of the fathers such a beautiful statement that when we don't have our conscience accusing us, it's one of two things. Either on the one hand, we're so pure there's no reason to be accused, or on the other hand, we're so vile that our conscience doesn't speak to us anymore. And so it is that one who lives totally at peace with God has no reason to be accused by his heart, by his conscience. He has peace and calmness. He's assured of God's love, and he's assured of God's blessing. And indeed, he lives in that blessing. So what is this conscience that the apostle speaks about? It's also called the heart. It's one of the dwelling places of God. It's the voice of God, as St. Augustine said, within us. It's part of our created nature. In many of the fathers, it's the donatum, it's the deposit of God, what God's given to us. We were created in his image and likeness, and part of that creation is this conscience that God is within us, speaking to us. But this voice that God gives every single person that's ever been created can be withdrawn. We saw in the life of Pharaoh that he had a hardening of heart. As he saw more and more miracles continually came to the edge of doing what God wanted, but then would back off. Eventually the voice wasn't there anymore and his heart was hardened. In Romans chapter 1, the Holy Scriptures, this same book, one chapter before, speaks of those that are given over to a reprobate mind because of their sinfulness and their refusal to bow to God's voice within them. Hardening of heart, a reprobate mind. And to the one that's composed in a sinful bearing, Matthew chapter 5 speaks about an adversary. That our conscience can be an adversary speaking to us in the way that calls us to be reconciled to God. But that if we're not, eventually we're thrown into prison and brought before the judge of all and accused and condemned. Our conscience can be taken away in a way by our sinfulness. And yet, it's true that we're all born with a spiritual, some of the fathers call that an instinct almost. We see the birds of the air and how they go. There's one bird that goes every year from the tip of Tierra del Fuego all the way into the Arctic above Canada. How does it know to do that? Instinct. How do you know to do good? The voice of God within you is almost like an instinct. And in fact, the conscience more quickly distinguishes between good and evil than can your reason or your intellect or your mind. It's deeper than emotion, than thoughts, for it exists before the thought to guide you and keep you when that thought comes. Conscience is not something that's relative, not something that's formed by society. I think if you think about this, you can understand that all across the world, people know they shouldn't be killing each other. There's a common moral code in all of man that points to a common educator, who is God, who teaches us his rules, and they're transmitted to the heart of every man through this conscience God gives us. What conscience does is it takes God, who's an external being to us at some point. He's the creator. We're foreign to him. We're creatures. It takes him, this pre-existent and universal, and takes him and makes him personal and internal. It makes heartfelt in your heart, in my heart, what is God's will. That Christ may dwell in your heart. The apostle writes in the book of Ephesians, we enter into a personal communion with God when we answer in obedience and in faith this voice of conscience within us. For those of us that are baptized Orthodox Christians, the Holy Spirit is given to us in a special way to augment our conscience and to give us a conscience which is Christ-oriented. This is a special deposit of God that's given to those that follow him and that open their hearts, their native conscience, if you will, to him. The fathers have written much about conscience, but I just wanted to read you a few things because in their brilliance and their clarity, they can fill in many of the things which I could spend all day trying to do. St. Ambrose of Milan says this, nothing causes such exceeding grief as when anyone lying under the captivity of sin calls to mind from where he has fallen, because he turned aside to carnal and earthly things instead of directing his mind to the beautiful ways and the knowledge of God. St. Dorotheus says this, when God created man, he breathed into him something divine, as it were a hot and bright spark added to reason, which lit up the mind and showed him the difference between right and wrong. This is called conscience, which is the law of your nature. Then, St. John of Kronstadt, from almost our own era, says this, conscience is nothing else but the voice of the omnipresent God moving in the hearts of men. As he who alone is and has created everything The Lord knows all as himself, all the thoughts, desires, intentions, words, and works of men, past, present, and future. However far in front I may let my thoughts, my imagination run, he is there before me, and I ever inevitably finish my course with him, ever having him as the witness of my ways. His eyes are open unto all the sons of men. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or where shall I flee from thy presence? St. Maximus the Confessor says, there's nothing more burdensome and grievous than when conscience accuses us of anything, and there's nothing and dearer than calmness and approval of the conscience. And lastly, Abbot Dorotheus says this, brethren, let us try to guide and guard our conscience while we are in the world, without provoking it to censure us about anything, without trampling upon it in any way, even something insignificant. Since you know that from those small things, we also come to despise the great things. My brothers and sisters, God speaking to you today, his Holy Spirit, his voice, his law is within you, calling you clearly every minute, every second, to be what he created you to be. Don't let his voice fall on deaf, defiant, or disobedient ears. Hear him, obey him, please him, and you will find glory, honor, and peace, now and forevermore. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.